We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The man, the myth, he's become a legend. He does the Spanish broadcast for not only the New York Yankees, whose season ended unceremoniously the other day, but the defending, the reigning and defending Super Bowl champion. Feels weird to say that. Philadelphia Eagles, and that is Ricky Ricardo. Ricky, Joe, and Evan, how you been?
Hi, Ricky.
Well, I guess it's obvious where I'll be tonight now, huh?
Yeah. There you go. We had there's no issue now. No issue. Let's start with them. What's going on with this Eagle team right now, Rick?
You want to go Eagles first?
Yeah, we're going out first.
Even this morning, we've gotten more injury news. Lane Johnson, the right tackle, all of a sudden now he's questionable with an ankle injury. Look, Carson Wentz, I think, is still, you know, still rusty. He was, you know, he went right from being cleared for contact to action on the field. He had basically no training camp that we could talk about, no game action anyway, very, very light as far as practice was concerned. I could go down the list of guys that are hurt, from Darren Sproles, who got injured first week of the season. Now Jay Ajayi's gone. You know, Mike Wallace, who, you know, hey, it was nice meeting you, Mike. He showed up to be the speed receiver and opened things up down the field and replaced Torrey Smith. He's gone. There's been a lot of changes. Howie Roseman's done an incredible job at GM personnel-wise, but I think there's a combination of three things with this team right now. Wentz is rusty. He still hasn't come back to the form we saw last year. The offensive line is banged up. You've got an aging left tackle, and Jason Peters is a step slow. Wentz has been under siege since he's been back. You've got really no help from the wide receiver core. There's nobody that can stretch the field. And let's face it, you've got a Super Bowl hangover, and I hate to use that term in a cliche, but all the symptoms of a Super Bowl hangover team, and it's amazing, you know, and I've heard you guys talk about this before, how can this never happen to the Patriots? The only team that wins Super Bowls and doesn't have a lingering effect the next season of Belichick's Patriots. Everyone else, at least in the last 10, 15 years that I can remember, always has a bit of a hangover the next season. And I think the Eagles are going through something similar right now.
I think there's a couple of – first of all, Belichick and Brady are two of the greats of all time. I don't know yet about Doug Peterson. And certainly the quarterback was Nick Foles, who won the Super Bowl, even though Carson Wentz led them there in the regular season. And the other thing is, and I get why the city of Philadelphia did it, we do the exact same thing about the Jets. The celebration was endless. It was a gigantic – and good for them. I'm not complaining about this. We would be
I'd
doing
still be
that.
Celebrating if the Jets had won a Super Bowl.
And you know what, Joe? You'd have a Super Bowl hangover.
I would.
As I would.
Of course.
So I wonder if that has something to do with it, because winning a championship in Philadelphia is a lot different now than winning another Super Bowl for the New England Patriots. It's a different animal now.
Fellas, you know, remember, I do shifts on WIP, our sister station down there. I told the Philadelphia Phillies people at the beginning of the year, you guys can take the year off. The Phillies can just take the year off and not play. And nobody's going to care, because the town was still engulfed in celebrating the Eagles Super Bowl victory. This baseball season, the Phillies could have taken the year off, not played, come back next year. Nobody would have missed them. Even the fan base now, I speak to these fans after every game. They're not enraged about a loss.
Wow.
There is a complacency right now, and I get it. You know, the celebration hasn't, the parade hasn't ended yet, and I think it's going to take a little bit more time for them to catch up. And, you know, the division is so bad that maybe they've got time, you know, to get things worked out and try to get into the playoffs by winning the division. But this is clearly not the Super Bowl defending champion that I expected to see on the field.
By the way, the Philadelphia Phillies may not have taken the season off, but they certainly took September off.
Yes.
They were mess-like in September. That's
for
sure.
Yeah, they took August and September off for sure.
You know, you mention it, and it's true, and I think this is what Giant fans are telling themselves. Someone's going to win this division, right? They're not canceling the NFC East. Someone's winning this division, and we look at the Cowboys and see all their flaws. I mean, Dak Prescott's being exposed. They have no wide receivers. The Redskins, they're probably the best equipped team to win this division, but they got destroyed by the Saints. We know about the Giant issues. So who the heck would even be the team to step up? I mean, maybe it is Philadelphia. Who is it, though, in your mind?
I've watched as much as I've been able to of all four of these teams. In my mind, look, if the Eagles have, I guess, the quickest road to repair because the pieces are in place, if they can get some of their guys back healthy, I think they're the team that could bounce back the quickest. If tonight's game is huge, because if the Giants win this game, the Eagles are last. They'll be 2-4. The Giants will be 2-4, but the Giants will have a division win
right
in their hip pocket. The Eagles still have to go to London. That's another thing. With no World Series, I get to go to London. Right. But the Eagles still have have all of their division games. This is the first division game for the Eagles tonight. The Giants already lost to the Cowboys, but they'll have a head-to-head loss against the Giants if Philadelphia loses tonight. I just think if you draw everything even, I think the Eagles have the quickest path to repair, for lack of a better term, to win this division. I think the Dallas Cowboys will probably have the longest road. They've got a tough schedule too, and I just don't see, aside from Ezekiel Elliott, I don't see the pieces for that team to really take control of the division. I really do think at the end, and the Eagles finish in Washington on week 17, it could come down to that game for the division, and I'm not counting the Giants out because I think they have the ability to bounce back.
You like that? You like the Eagles tonight or no?
Ooh, yeah, I do, and I'll like them even more if it starts raining. You know, the forecast is supposed to be that it's going to start raining.
No, it's New Jersey. It's New Jersey. It'll rain. Don't worry.
Yeah, it's going to rain. Ricky. It's going to be windy, you know, and hopefully that might put a cramp into the Odell Beckham Jr. matchup against Jalen Mills. Mills has been terrible this year at corner. That would be a big time mismatch if conditions are right for Eli to throw the football. If it comes down to more of a ground game and a low scoring game tonight, I like the Eagles' chances a little bit better.
All right, let's put a bow on this Yankee season. First of all, what are your biggest concerns from what you saw? I mean, they won 100 games during the regular season, but there were plenty of concerns Yankee fans brought up. But your biggest concern from the series loss to the Red Sox that you take into potentially 2019 and beyond?
All right. I just before I came on, I was just talking to Ernie about this. I was going through the numbers. My biggest question here in the offseason, and there's got to be an answer to this, what the heck happened to the ace of this rotation in Luis Severino? I'm looking at my scorebook because I keep it. I have 162 games in the playoffs right in front of me. Game number 81, the exact halfway point of the season, Sunday night, July 1st, the Yankees beat the Boston Red Sox 11-1. The Red Sox get a run in the ninth inning. Luis Severino is looking like Pedro Martinez in the All-Star game when he struck out everybody back-to-back. As of from that night on, Luis Severino goes 7-6. His ERA went from 2.12 to 3.39 at the end of the season. Question number one, what happened to the ace of this rotation? Was he hurt? Is he physically not built for 162 games? This was game 81 was the crescendo of this man's season, and he was ordinary at best in the last 81 games of the season, ordinary at best in the postseason. Number one, what happened to Severino? Do you need an ace? Number two, the only night that I can see that Giancarlo Stanton had any water thrown on him or bubble gum or seeds, however they celebrate, post-game, was the game against the Seattle Mariners when he hit the walk-off home run. Other than that, I don't see many clutch moments from Giancarlo Stanton. Look, he had a good season, 38 home runs, basically the back of his baseball card, 100 RBIs. I just don't see moments where when the team needed him big time, that he came through. That's got to change next year. And, fellas, this team, this is Yankee Stadium. This is the short porch in right field. If Greg Bird was going to have this type of season and your only real left-handed power threat was Didi Gregorius, your shortstop gave you 27 home runs, but he's basically your only left-handed power threat. Traditionally, Yankee teams are built with left-handed power. That's the way they scare you out of Yankee Stadium and intimidate you. And there's a tremendous imbalance in that lineup It is too right-handed. They need to get some left-handed power built into that lineup again for next year.
Did they sign Bryce Harper and Manny Machado in your mind?
No. Well, you said both. And Manny Machado?
Yes.
No, I don't know where you can play him, Manny Machado. Are you going to do something with Miguel Andujar? You know, Andujar's got to stay, but he's really not a good defensive third baseman. There are some question marks. Brian Cashman's got some big-time decisions to make in this offseason. What do you do with CeCe Sabathia? Great clubhouse leader. You know, I get all the intangibles. As a starting pitcher, is he, what, a five? Is he your fifth starter next year if you bring him back for one more year? Do you re-sign Jay Happ? Still healthy, relatively good, young left-handed pitcher, serviceable, maybe a two or a three? A three, maybe, yeah. In this rotation behind Severino and Tanaka. There's still some big-time decisions to be made here, but very, very right-handed. Remember, these are the Yankees, short porch, right field. They have always lived on left-handed power. They don't have enough of it.
I trust you, but I don't know if there's anything you could say right now that's going to convince me otherwise. I believe the Yankees are covering up what happened with Severino before Game 3. There's no way it usually takes him 8 minutes to warm up. I've never seen anything like that. So it looked really fishy how everything was handled with Severino's start, and it appears as if he didn't know the time of the game.
Well, look, I wish I would have been on top of it. I'm usually sitting in my chair by the time the starter leaves the dugout and walks to the bullpen with the catcher, and I watch this every night.
Right.
Usually the starting pitcher with Larry Rothschild and Gary or Roman, whoever the catcher, Higashioka. Whoever the catcher is, they walk together to the bullpen. That particular night, with so much going on, I think I was doing maybe another interview or who knows what my distraction was. I didn't see what time Severino left the dugout. I'm going to trust Ron Darling, who I think is one of the best in all of baseball, covering, analyzing the games and had his eye on this. And obviously, as a pitcher, knows the habits of these pitchers. But you're absolutely – I'm not going to argue with you, Evan. There's something wrong here. There's something rotten in Denmark, and – whether it was, lack of communication. Remember, Game 4 was 8:07.
Right.
Game 3 was 7:40.
Yep.
You know, all these time changes. Even myself, look, I miscommunicated to my audience the start time of Game 3 after Game 2. When I left the air at Fenway in Game 2, I said, we'll be back for Game 3 Wednesday, 8:05, 7:30 pregame. I was off. So, I made the mistake myself after Game 2. I thought the
Ricky,
Monday night game
Ricky,
was going to be at 8:05.
Ricky, it's all coming clear. You're the reason Sevy was listening to you, and you screwed him up.
Yeah, it's my fault. Yeah, blame me.
Unbelievable. It's all right. We'll forgive you eventually, Ricky.
Yeah.
Hey, fellas, I got to say something.
Go ahead.
I'm driving down a turnpike yesterday, Joe Evans. I see this electronic billboard advertising, have to advertise a Jet game. So it's the advertisement for this weekend's Jet Colt game. And right next to the logos, there's a picture of Joe Namath, the uniform. I said, Joe, look, Namath is coming back to play the Colts this weekend, baby. It's a throwback night that I did read. It's a celebration about Super Bowl.
It's only been 50 years. By the way, they better win this game against the crummy Colts. They're all banged up. There's no excuse for not winning this game this week. None.
I'll be there since my job
all
is
right,
done.
I'm going too. I'll be there
I'm going,
too.
And I expect to see Joe Namath in uniform. That's what I saw on that billboard.
I'll be wearing my Namath jersey in honor of the 50 years when I was 16 years old, and now I'm 65. I was 15. You know, now I'm 65, and they still haven't even sniffed the Super Bowl. So
Yeah, well, if I get down on the field tonight, I'm going to run into the tunnel with the number one on my finger.
You do that. Thanks for the memories, Ricky.
You got it.
Quarterback does look good. I will say that, though.
That's true.
All right. Ricky, great job.
See you,
we appreciate it.
A lot of work to do this offseason, fellas. We'll talk soon.
Indeed.
All right, Ricky. Great Ricky Ricardo.
He does the Yankees. He does the Eagles tonight. No conflict. The Eagles and the Giants will be calling it.
No concern.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.